We're doing the book of Micha. We're up to what's called the seventh chapter, the third pasuk. And the Navi had said, "Woe to me, because I'm like a guy who comes to harvest at the end of the crop, and everything's been harvested, and there's nothing left." And he says, "What I mean is, I live in a time when there are no pious people. There's no one honest left. All around me, I see people plundering, I see people ambushing one another, looking to murder one another. Hey, everyone's focused on how could they trick his fellow man." And so the Navi says, Pasuk Gimel, Al hara kapayim leitiv hasar shoel v'ashofet bashilum. Al hara kapayim leitiv. The Navi says, what are they focused lehitiv? What are they focused to better? They're focused to better their evil doings. Al hara kapayim, on their evil doings, on the evil that's in their palms, lehitiv. That's what they're looking to perfect. I'm talking to them about perfecting themselves to remove sin, and they're focused on how could they perfect their murderous ways. Hasar shoel. The officer, he openly says he wants a bribe. V'ashofet bashilum. And the judge has no interest in attaining justice, but rather he's focused on how could he pressure them to get better pay. V'hagadol dover havat nafsho hu vayabetuham. V'hagadol, and the big person, the leader who has the capacity to ensure there is justice, dover havat nafsho, he breaks the soul of the one who's been judged unfairly. Hu vayabetuayu, and together the three of them work in unison, and they completely destroy all concept of justice in the country. So everyone's focused just on perfecting their evil ways. Hasar, if he's the leader, if he's an officer, so then he openly asks for bribes. The judge, he's thinking about how could I get them to bribe me better, to pay me better. And the gadol, the chief justice, the bet mishpat gadol, he want to go to the Supreme Court. Dover havat nafsho, what he says is he shames and breaks the soul of the man who tries to bring a claim to him. Vayabetuah, so in unison, they completely destroy the justice system. Vayabetuah literally means they thicken it, they strengthen it. It's like they're all in cahoots. So it's they've got a strong thing going. Tovam kechidek yashar mimesucha. The little bit of good that you could find within them is kechidek. It's like a thorn. It's tiny. Yashar mimesucha. Whoever is... any little bit of honesty, any little bit of straightness that you could find within them is tougher to find than misucha. That's a gate that's also made of thorns. Yom mitzapecha pegudatecha va'a atatiye mevuchatam. And so Hashem says, Yom mitzapecha, the day you look forward to, that you anticipate good things will come to you. Hashem says, "Pikudatcha va'a." I will at that time take an accounting of the sins to pay back for them. Atatiye, and then when that time comes, and it's very soon, when that time comes, what will be is mevuchatam, their confusion. They won't know what to do because they'll be expecting things will go good. And I'll take an accounting, and I won't let that happen. Al taminu v'reya, al tivtechu be'aluf. And when that time comes, so then don't have confidence in your friendships. Don't have confidence in the governor who you're friendly with. Ordinarily, you had confidence, you're buddy-buddy with the governor. Now Hashem says, don't assume that's going to help you. מי שוכב את חיקך, שמור פתחיך. And even the woman who sleeps in your bosom at night, מי שוכב את חיקך, the woman who sleeps by your thigh, the Navi says, שמור פתחיך. Be careful what you say to her, because she'll also reveal your secrets. You'll have no one to have confidence in. If the people are so immoral, if there's no justice, so Hashem says, then down to the most basic relationship between a husband and his wife, even there, a person will feel like he has nothing to rely on. Our sages say, Mishochevet chikecha, who's the one that sleeps in our thigh, who sleeps so intimately with us? That's a reference to our own neshama. The pasuk Mishochevet chikecha shemo pitcheficha is talking about we have to know that our own soul goes up and gives testimony about ourselves. At the end, it's our soul every night that goes up there and says, "This is what I did today." Our sages say this pasuk, "Al ta'aminu v'reya," don't have confidence in your friend, is a reference to God. The verse in Mishle calls God our friend. The verse in Mishle says, "Reyacha v'reya avicha al ta'azov." Don't leave your trusted friend, your father's trusted friend. The pasuk is talking about God. And so here the pasuk says, "Al ta'aminu v'reya." Don't have confidence in your friend, because sometimes people think God loves us, He'll forgive us, so I could get away with this. The Navi says that that's not a way to work. Al ta'aminu v'reya, al tiftechu be'aluf. Don't have confidence in the one who's really in control, in God, that He's your buddy, and He'll let you go. Mishochev et chekecha shmo pitreficha. Be careful, because your own soul will come and give testimony for what you say. So don't think, who's hearing me now? No, that's not the way it's going to work. Pasuk Vav. Ki vein minabel ave. Because the generation is going to be such that the son stands up and he curses out his father. He shames his father. Bat kama ve'ima kala b'cha motah. And the daughter gets up and she curses out her mother, and the daughter-in-law, kala bachamota, she stands up and curses out her mother-in-law. Oyeveish anshei veito. And even a person's own family ends up being his enemies. He's got no peace anywhere. The Navi says, you think that maintaining a justice system is about helping the poor? Maintaining a justice system is about maintaining your own home. It's phenomenal. If you look around, you see what's going on today. It's like the Navi were talking to us today. I was with a taxi driver yesterday, and as we're driving, his wife calls. So, "Hi Chaim, how are you?" "Good, and how are you?" "Fine. I just left work. Where are you?" "Oh, I'm taking someone to Katamon." Right. "Okay." 5 minutes of pointless conversation. Nothing, you know. I'm sitting right there. It's all on the dibulit. It's all out loud. So at the end of the conversation, he hangs up the phone, and he's all smiles. So I asked him, "Was that your wife?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "You're a lucky man." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You just had 5 minutes of conversation about nothing with her, right?" "So what was that 5 minutes of conversation?" "It was, I love you, you love me. I love you, you love me." That's all the conversation was. You guys had nothing of importance to say to one another. It was just, we're sharing our lives. So you're telling her where you're headed. She's telling you where she's headed. That the whole conversation was a conversation that reflected the fact that you guys are partners in life. You're a lucky man. You have a partner in life. So his smile gets even bigger, and he says to me, "You bet I'm a lucky man." And he tells me the following story. He says, he has a friend, David. His friend David, he points to a big fancy car in front of us. He says, "He drives a car like that." I said, "Okay." He says to me, "My friend David came to me and says to me, I don't know what to do with myself. I don't like life. I'm not happy with anything. My kids curse me out. I have no nachas at home. So my friend David, he's rolling in money, but he's got a miserable life. Sound like what we're reading here? Cursing him out. His kids tell him, Dad, you're going to give us this or that. And his own kids are threatening him. He says to him, I drive the fancy car. I'm well off, but I'm not happy for it. So he tells his friend David, he says to him, tell me, David, what does your Friday night look like? You want to know the answer to your problems? It's all on your Friday night. Your Friday night, you guys come home, you go out to the beach, they go out to the movies, you meet at 4 o'clock in the morning, what are you, he says to him. You're their ATM machine, that's all you are. You guys don't have a family. You guys all come home to hotel, you sleep together, you get up in the morning, everyone gets up at their time, you don't have a family. You want your family back. You decide that Friday night you go to shul like me. The guy wasn't wearing a kippah. I mean, I had no way of knowing. Wow. He says to me, I said to David, you come like me to shul, and you tell your kids that after shul we sit down for a Friday night a Shabbos meal. After that, you'll have a family. Start there. So he told me that his friend David, he saw him a week or two ago, and the guy has a kippah on his head. He said, what happened? He said, I came home, I discussed it with my wife. My wife and I both agreed. We told the kids, you don't have to threaten us. The door's open, you're welcome to leave. Don't come to me for another penny, it's over. You want any funding, whatever you want, you come with me Friday night to shul, and you stay home for Friday night dinner. And he said, from there, his whole life changed. Sometimes we think it's all about the justice system out there. But it's one life. When things are not in order outside the home, they're not in order inside the home. It's one of the things that most attract people to Judaism. It's the family life. But the truth is, it's one big system. And it's interesting that when you look at the people who lead the system on one side, they lead the system on the other side too. I don't know if you guys know what's going on here. I mean, a lot of people didn't know. I don't want to discuss it Erev Yom Kippur, but let's just say that our justice system needs improvement. So the description over here is identical to the description you could hear in the streets. You guys are probably familiar with it. Sons cursing out their fathers, daughters cursing out their mothers, daughters-in-law cursing out their mothers-in-law. Person feels like in his own home he's surrounded by enemies. So I read this, I can't help remembering the conversation from yesterday. And the truth is, this is a generation we live in. I'm not one of those people who say the Navi, that's it, it's the times of the Messiah, let's pack our bags and get ready. But at the end of the day, you can't ignore that we never had levels of chutzpah like today. Never had kids, I mean, talking to their parents like they do today. So the Navi continues and says, Pasuk Zayin, Vani badonai atzapei, Ochila leilohei yishi, Yishma'eini Elohai. And I, in spite of all of this, I remain hopeful. But my hope is in God, not in my friendship with the governor. Vani, and I, says the Navi, Bashem atzapeh. I look forward, I am hopeful for the word of God. Ochila, I wait in anticipation, leilokei yishi, to the God of my salvation, Yishma'eini Elokai. And because I have this ongoing relationship with Him, I know that if troubles come, He will hear me. Very often people only come back when they have a problem. It's like, I remember our 8th grade Rebbe told us stories about students who came back to him a year or two later when they were kicked out of high school. He said, no one ever calls me to tell me they're doing good in high school. People only call me when they got problems. Our relationship with God is special. On the one hand, God says, even if you're only coming to me because you got a problem, I'll hear you out. God doesn't hold that against us. On the other hand, we say that people who maintain a close relationship, when they need something, so then they have an easier time getting it. Like the Gemara itself compares different rabbis. This rabbi was much bigger than the other rabbi, but the other rabbi had an ongoing relationship with God. His relationship was closer. The Talmud tells us sometimes he had a rabbi and his student. But his student was his prayer was different. He was like the butler. The Gemara says it's like the governor and the butler. The governor might have a higher position, but the butler sees the king every day. And so the butler, if he ever needs something, he's there. The governor has to make an appointment and see when he could have a word with the king. He's on a higher position, but at the end of the day, his relationship is more distant. So Talmud says, you could have a rabbi who's a governor. He's huge in Torah. He's a leader of the Jewish people, but his relationship with God is different than his own disciple, who's a butler. Talmud says sometimes rabbis prayed for their own children and got nowhere, and then their students prayed, and in a matter of minutes, the child was healed. So the Navi says, I maintain this relationship with Hashem. Ochila leloke yishi. My hope is in Hashem, who is my salvation. Yishma'eni elokai. And so my God will hear me when I need Him. I know I could talk to Him. And now the Navi, he says, Al tismichi oyavti li kin nafalti kahamti. And so my enemy, he turns to the enemies who are going to come and destroy Israel. And this pasuk to me has always been, this pasuk resonates in my head, it reverberates in my head time and again. Every time I see the Palestinians celebrate, when we had the two soldiers who were caught in the lynch, and you saw that guy waving his bloody hands in the window, and everyone applauded, and every time we see, you know, when scuds were falling here, they would sit and celebrate. There were celebrations going on rooftops throughout Gaza every time a scud would fall in Israel. And every time I saw that, this pasuk would come to my mind. The Navi says, Al tismichi oyav tili. I even wrote a song around this pasuk. Al tismichi oyav tili. My enemy, do not rejoice over my downfall. Kinafalti, because even though I've fallen, kamti, I will get back up. This pasuk to me is the motto of the Jewish people. Very often our enemies counted us down and out. Very often they thought, that's it, they're finished. It could be Haman, it could be Nebuchadnezzar, it could be Hitler. Every generation had their representation of someone who was rejoicing, thinking the final solution is almost there. And the Navi says, do not rejoice, my enemy. Ki nafalti, for even though I fall and I fall again, kamti, I keep getting up. Ki eshev b'choshech Adonai oli. Because even if I sit in this darkness of the galut, I maintain my light. And who is my light, like we said, all month now? Le David, what does King David tell us? Hashem ori v'yishi. Hashem is my light. And so the Navi says, although I sit in the darkness, I am in Galut. I'm not telling you, you won't be able to put me down, but I always have that internal light with me. And that's something you can't take away. As we approach the destruction of the Second Temple, so Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, one of the 10 martyrs, was taken and wrapped in a Torah scroll, and they burnt him. And as they're burning him alive, he sees, the students see his eyes moving. So they ask him, what are you looking at, Rabbi? So he says, I see the scrolls burning, but I see the letters floating in the air. That they can't burn the letters. We are taught that there are periods of Jewish history, there are periods of world history. You had 2,000 years since creation where the world was desolate, there was no Torah. Then Avram comes to the scene in the year 2000. Avram discovers his creator when he's 52 years old. Avram was born 1948. When he's 52, he starts telling people about Judaism, about monotheism. And for the next 2,000 years, you have a period of Torah. Torah is expanding from Avram to the giving of the Torah. You have 2,000 years of Torah. And then you enter a period of days of the Messiah. It's not the period of Torah anymore. But it's also a period of the oral law. It's a period where we take the Torah within. And so Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion tells them, they might be able to burn the written word, the Torah scrolls, but they're not burning the spirit. Meaning, I'm going up in flames, but I have students who I left behind. I left behind the words. Yes, I see myself being burnt to death. He's standing there wrapped in the Torah scroll he was learning. And he knows he's going. But he tells his students, the words are still in the air. They can't burn the spirit. Hashem ori, Hashem oli, Hashem is my light. They can't burn that. They can't take that from us. our connection to Hashem, the Torah that we have. So yes, they could kill the body, but they can't kill the soul and they can't kill the spirit. And so the Navi says, you might see us fall, but we're going to get back up. And you might see us fall many times. Kinafalti in the past tense is a reference to multiple fallings. So it's not like I fall once. No, I'm going to keep falling, but I'm going to keep getting up. And that's always the key to Judaism. The key is not about avoiding a fall. No, sometimes you fall, but the key is you keep getting up. Zaf Adonai Yesa ki chatati lo Ad asher yariv ridi v'asa mishpati yotzieini la'or ereh betzidkato. I carry God's wrath, the Navi says. It's true, I am absorbing the wrath of God at this point. Ki chatati lo, and it is a price I'm paying, for I have sinned against him. But I am waiting for the day, ad asher yariv ridi v'asa mishpati, till he fights my fight and he demands my justice. Yotzieini la'or, and when that time comes, I know he will take me out to the light. Ereh betzidkato, and I will see his righteousness. I know that he will fight my fight. V'tereh oyavti utchaseh v'usha, and then my enemy, then you will see. You'll see that he will be fighting our fight, and you'll be covered with shame. Ha'omera elai ayo Adonai Eloheich. You who consistently torment me and tease me and tell me, look, where's your God? Where is he now? And if you think this story is about a story the Prophet is telling us 2,000 years ago, there's a story 50 years ago, 60 years ago. There was a Jew that was being beaten by a Nazi, and he's being beaten brutally, and the Nazi says, tell me you're the chosen person now. Where's your God now? There are many stories like that. It's interesting that the Jew answered him a very interesting line. As he's beating him, so the Jew says, look at yourself. You're definitely not the chosen people. That's what he was saying as he's being beaten. So this tormentation is something that we've heard for thousands of years. It was the claim of the Christian church for the longest time. Look at that. They're being punished for what they did. That's why they didn't know what to say when the state of Israel came about. Wait, this contradicts everything they said until now. We've been living with this claim. And we have no promise that the state of Israel will remain. No one promised us that this is the solution to the future. Rav Kook wrote, he says, the return of the Jews to Zion can go in one of two directions. If it becomes suffused with Torah, it can grow into the period of the Messiah. And if not, it will self-destruct. If it remains secular, Rav Kook wrote, then it will consume itself. It will be self-destructive. So we have no promise. Even Rav Kook, the visionary of the return to Zion, if we'll call him that, he himself said, we don't know where it's going to end up. We have a responsibility to ensure that this works out correctly. And we're not making claims that this is the refutation of what they said. No. What we're saying is, whatever it is, the period will come. We don't know if we're at that period yet. The period will come when Hashem will reveal himself. And then what are they going to say? Einai tireh naba. My eyes, says the Navi, my eyes will then see what I've been anticipating when God avenges what I've suffered, and then she will be trampled like the tit that's outside, everyone tramples that tar. Okay, and should we go another 10 minutes and finish the book? Yes? Okay, we'll end the semester, we'll finish the book. The Navi continues, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yom livnot gedereich, yom ahu yirchak chok. The day will come when God will rebuild your walls. Yom livnot gedereich. There will be a time to rebuild your fences. Yom hahu yirchak chok. And on that day, the law of the nations will be distant from us. Until now, we've been under their rule, paying their taxes, being under their servitude. And the Navi says, the day will come when you'll build your own fences. Yom hu ve'adecha yavo limini ashul ve'arei matzor. The Navi says that day is a day when you'll have a long period of light. Yom hu. It's like a long day, that period. It's a day, it's a period of shining. Ve'adecha yavo. And then all the nations will come to Jerusalem. They will come to you and they will want to accept your teachings. Limini ashul ve'arei matzor, from the Assyrian empires, from the Assyrian empire, all the way out to from limini ashul, from the Assyrian empire, the ve'arei matzor, and their fortified cities, ulmini matzor ve'ad nahar ve'yam yam ve'har har, and from their fortified cities, ve'ad nahar, down to the Euphrates, and from there onward, the yam yam, from sea to sea, from like that's like saying from east to west, the har hahar, and up on the mountaintops at the to the top of Israel. So they'll come throughout the land of Israel, and they'll come to learn. The hayita haaretz lishmama al yosheveha, and the lands outside of Israel will become desolate for their inhabitants. This will be the fruits of their actions. And here the prophet is concluding his prophecy with a prayer. The book of Micha is concluding now with a prayer to God. He turns to Hashem and says, Hashem, Re'ei, please shepherd and guide your nation, Amecha, Bishivtecha, with your staff. He's comparing God to a shepherd, so he speaks about the staff. So, Nenachalatecha, the sheep that is your lot, the people of Israel, Shochani Levadad, Yal Betoch Karmel. They are a nation that you decreed they would live alone. Hin am levadad yishkon. The verse says the people of Israel are a nation that stands alone. So you decreed that they would be able to stand alone, and they wouldn't have to fear their neighbors. So shepherd them, Hashem. Put them in a state where they can be shochni levadad, where they could live alone, where they're not worried about any threats. Yao betoch kalmel, and they should live in peace and tranquility and comfort, in confidence, like a person who is in Carmel. Carmel is like the city, a place where there are a lot of people, so there aren't any wild animals. Yao betoch kalmel, let them live in confidence in the ya'ar, in the forest, where there are all kinds of wild animals, as though they were living in the city. Hashem, you said they would live in confidence, so let them be in that ya'ar as though they were in Carmel. Let them be in the surrounded by the wild animals with confidence, like they were living in an inhabited city. And that you could see today, we have that. I mean, it is interesting. People living in Israel aren't too worried. I don't know why. But if you look at the map, how many enemies are surrounding us. Yeah, it could scare you. But no, people aren't living in fear. Did you notice that? Yir'u vashan v'gilad kimei olam. And let them graze their sheep in the Bashan and in the Gilad, like it always was. And those are areas where areas that we had when we first entered the land of Israel, that on the eastern side of the Jordan. So those were the more dangerous areas. Those were the areas that were first attacked many times in our history. And the Navi is saying, let us have the tranquility that we'll be able to graze our sheep out there peacefully the way it always was. And God says, I've heard your prayer, and that's what I'm going to do. I'll bring you back to the state you were in when I took you out of Egypt. And I'll show them wondrous things like I did for them back then. The nations will see that all their might that didn't help them stand and stand over the people of Israel, they will see all of that and they will be shamed. And they won't have a capacity to speak. They'll be in shock. They'll put their hands on their mouths. And they'll want to make themselves deaf. They won't want to hear the successes of Israel. They'll make themselves as though they're deaf. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Bad enough what I've heard already. I don't want to hear their successes. Yilachachu afar kanachash kezochalei eretz yirgizu mimisgirotayim. Yilachachu afar kanachash. They'll be licking dust like the snake. That's a way of saying they'll be bowing to Israel. And in their minds, it'll be as though they're like a snake that's down slithering on the floor. Kezochalei eretz. Like those that creep on the ground, that's another way of saying the snakes. Yugizum imisgirotehim, they will be fearful from that which they used to put Israel in bondage. So they're going to be worried. They're going to say, wait a second, we know what we did to them all the years, now what are they going to do to us? El Adonai Eloheinu yifchadu ve'yiru mimeka. And they will fear God, and they will also fear Israel. And the Navi concludes the prophecy, these last three psukim. These last three psukim, we have on tradition, are a Kabbalistic reference to the 13 attributes of mercy. In the beginning of Rav Moshe Cordoviro's Tomer Tvora, he shows how each of these words refers to a different trait and how we could each learn from those traits. If you want, we have those classes online, very short classes each time we did another trait. We could actually cover all 13 in one day. You could listen. That each class is maybe 10 minutes long. We just finished a series in Hebrew, in Katamon. That's also online if you want to brush up on your Hebrew. In the first chapter of the Tomel Dvora, he goes through these psukim showing how these psukim refer to the 13 midot, and how can I apply these midot? How can I learn from God and apply these in my own life? We say these psukim also in Tashlich. These are the psukim we say. So the Navi says, we'll at least understand the simple meaning. Mi el kamocha nosei avon ve'over al pesha lisherit nachalato. Who is the potent one like you? Other than you, nosei avon, who is willing to carry our iniquity, our sins, ve'over al pesha, and forgo our rebellious ways, lisherit nachlato, to the remnants of his lot. Hashem calls us his lot. Really, we don't deserve all this good that you just promised us, God. We're so filled with sin, but Hashem, you just promised us all that. Mi el kamocha. Who is powerful like you, willing to forgo sin? The strength is the capacity to forgive. Nosei avon vover al pesha, willing to carry our sin, to forgo our rebellious ways. Lisherit nachlato, and that's what Hashem does for those who remain. Those who remain, just like when we left Egypt, one out of five remained, four out of five died. So too we have on tradition that in the days of the Messiah, a tremendous number will not make it. We hope that we paid that price in the Holocaust. We hope that we already we've paid that price over the years. We hope. So that's what the Navi is talking about, lish'erit nachlato, to the remnants, those who remain, because we have on tradition that a lot will not make it. Yes?
You say a lot won't remain. Today, I would say maybe the Jewish population 10% or 10%, could they be the ones that say don't make it?
We hope not. We hope not. Every prophecy has the capacity for multiple interpretations. That's what we see in the book of Jonah, and that's what we see in many places. Whenever God gives a prophecy, He gives it with room for interpretation, and God, depending on our ways, God will give it whatever interpretation we deserve. Meaning even a prophecy can go in many ways. God says we'll be in Egypt for 400 years. The Jewish people pray, the Jewish people do mitzvot, and God is willing to count those 400 from the days of Yitzchak. Is that the way it had to play itself out? No. It could have played itself out very differently. And the same is true of every prophecy. So we hope. We hope we won't lose those 90%. Lo echezik la'ad apo ki chafetz chesed hu. God does not hold on to his anger forever because he wants kindness. Hashem is chafetz chesed. What God wants is what's good and kind and sweet, as we discussed yesterday. Yom Kippur is about God saying, I want to do good for you guys. Just give me the capacity to do it. Show me, give me the excuse to come out with a good ruling. Just put yourself into it.
Yes. Chafetz is like desire.
Yeah.
Why
is an object called a chafetz? Because it's an object, meaning it's something that people desire. It's the same root, yes. Yashuv yirachameinu yichbo shavonoteinu. We ask Hashem to come back and again have mercy upon us. Yichbo shavonoteinu. Hashem should hold down our sins that... We shouldn't. It's as though God, hold on to them. Don't let them get out of hand. Don't let us get punished too badly for it. V'tashlich b'mtzulot yam kol chatotam. And we ask Hashem if there's mention made of our sins that we deserve punishment for. So then Hashem throw them to the depths of the sea, and that's the pasuk of Tashlich. V'tashlich b'mtzulot yam. We ask Hashem, throw them down to the depths of the sea where no one can see them. Hashem, you're willing to forgo them. Don't let them come back to haunt us. Titein emet liYaakov chesed leAvraham asher nishbat alavoteinu mimekedem. The Navi concludes and says, you promised Yaakov he will flourish. Please, Hashem, give us that truth that you promised Yaakov. Chesed leAvraham. Give us the kindness you promised Avram. You said you'd pay back Avram for his kindness. And just like you promised our forefathers, Asher nishbat el avotenu mimekedem, way back then, when Yitzchak was bound, you promised them, Binishbati, I swear by myself, God had said, your children will ultimately inherit all their enemies. So we ask Hashem, fulfill that vow that you promised us. That vow was 9 days ago on Rosh Hashanah when Avram bound Yitzchak on Mount Moriah. And we too, as you will see, these verses are mentioned repeatedly in our prayers as we ask Hashem to fulfill this promise and give us a good present and a good future. Maybe we'll just begin the book of Nahum. It's very connected to our Yom Kippur because the book of Nahum is the continuation of the book Jonah. Says you always start something new, just like on Simchas Torah. We finish the Torah right away, we start again. We read Bereishis. You never leave a pause for the Satan to come in and say, God, they left you, they finished. We always start the next thing. So in the book of Nahum, Masa Ninveh Sefer Chazon Nahum Ha'il Koshi. This is a prophecy about Ninveh, the Assyrian capital. And in the book of Yonah, we learned last night. The people of Ninveh repented, well, it didn't last. And so God sends the next prophet, Nahum, to come and prophesize their destruction because the city of Ninveh has returned to their sinful ways. And so although the Navi in Yonah concludes his prophecy describing God's attributes of mercy and kindness, the Navi in Nahum begins with describing God's vengeance. El kanov nokem Adonai, nokem Adonai, uval chema, nokem Adonai letzarav, venoterhu leoyevav. He says, God is vengeful. God takes revenge. He has anger. He won't let things go. Those who come and afflict his children, those that are his enemies, he maintains his enmity towards them and he will pay them back. And remember, although the Assyrian Empire was given a few more years, and during those years they brought about the greatest Holocaust in Jewish history, nonetheless, the Navi Nahum describes how God will pay them back. There will be retribution.